Welcome in to In-Game Chat for Saturday, August the 11th, 2023. 12th. August the 12th, 2023. I caught it. Season 17, episode 27. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
And making that change there. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. Check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter, you X, whatever. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us, I don't know, we're all over the place. Just email us, everyone at ingamechat.net. Streaming right now on Twitch, go to twitch.tv. You can find us there. Search for In-Game Chat, and you will find us. You can watch us live while we broadcast by going there. There's a chat room you can join up with as well. You don't have to make an account. You do, I think, to chat maybe, but you don't have to make an account to watch or anything like that. So you don't have to worry about that. And don't forget, we're on Discord, so if you go there, you can join in the show and chat with us live while we're on the air. So welcome into the program as we get ready for the show here. And do this very quickly and get that out of the way. Mm-hmm. We can talk about video games and whatever else has been going on, gaming-wise. Evo was great. I enjoyed Evo.
Yeah,
this was. The parts of it that I saw. The Mortal Kombat was something fun to watch. When it gets into Guilty Gear and Melty Blood and anything that isn't...
Kind of the niche titles, yeah.
Right, yeah. Anything that isn't like MK, DC, whatever.
Yeah.
Street Fighter or Tekken.
Your interest in there.
I don't enjoy it or Smash. Yeah. I don't enjoy it as much because I'm not familiar with the capability. And some of the new characters that I was watching for Street Fighter and I guess maybe even MK, I was not familiar with some of their move sets. But there's a general familiarity with what I'm looking at. Mm-hmm. Whereas in those other games, no clue. Mm-hmm. As to who I'm seeing there. So probably different. Like, I could probably do Soul Calibur. I could probably do Virtual Fighter, Clay Fighter. there's plenty that I could work with.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty easily. Not even having... Killer Instinct is another one I could probably watch.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, the Killer Instinct tournaments in particular does get pretty intense, especially near the finals, the top eights, things like that. Because from what I looked at, you hardly see combos finishing their entire stream because people can break them so well. Or if they're not good enough at breaking them, someone could counter the break and keep that thing going. I mean, it gets really intense near the end.
It does. I did not watch the final, although I do. It pops up in my YouTube page as I'm looking through. It's like a 20-minute grand finale type thing for the Street Fighter. I have not watched it. I watched the beginning of the grand finale that night. Mm-hmm. Saw a couple of... It was just... And it really annoyed me because, first off, it was late. I got to get up at 4:30 in the morning, so it's hard for me to watch these things. But the amount of filler... In other words, when it started... You had to have somebody come out and do this whole thing to get the crowd up and then say, yeah, we're going to get started in just a bit. Then it would go silent again. Ads would run. Somebody else would come out and they would announce all these different things, maybe do some awards for the previous stuff.
Yeah.
Like there was all this padding before you even got to the first match.
Reminds you of the video game awards, don't it?
Yeah. So then they would play their match and get a winner or a loser, and then those guys would go off stage. Then there was this massive padding.
Yeah. And and when you think about it, like this, matches don't last long. I mean, the game clock is like 90, 99 seconds, minute and a half. That's it. And most matches don't run out the clock. Some rounds are going to go quicker than others. So it's going to be relatively short in between games. So, yeah, they had to have something to fill in that time. And the best thing they can come up with ads and awards and reveals of DLC and things in the future and that nature. They had to do something to fill it in with.
Yeah.
But there's going to be a lot of filler in a major tournament like that. Because
I know, no matter what you
do,
annoying.
Man, it's no matter what you do. I mean, those games are going to go fast, especially if you have a skill difference.
Yeah.
A big skill difference. The matches will go even faster.
Now, I get it if you go straight from the loser of a match having to jump into the loser's bracket and play immediately.
Mm-hmm.
I get that you want maybe a buffer between.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps. Maybe the dude wants a buffer. I don't know. There's like, hey, give me... You know, can we not just let me sit here and bring in the next guy to have to play? Can I get a break?
Benefits of winning. I mean, the winner's bracket is going to get that rest and get to observe all the things that's going on. So that's the privilege of winning. And I don't see that changing anytime soon. But it gets real in the loser's bracket.
Well, I didn't know. Again, because there was so much space in between rounds that I couldn't sit there and watch the whole thing like I wanted to just because of how late it was. I didn't bother. I think I caught the first two matches and I even may have ducked out in the second match because it was just so late that it was like, nah, I can't wait around.
You gotta be a word.
And the fact that I knew it didn't matter to me who was going to win this thing because there were so many more matches lined up afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, none of this is going to be important because it ain't going to matter. You're not going to get to see the outcome of this until later, so just go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the more you watch this, the harder it is for you to go, is going to be to go to sleep.
Because
you're going to be interested in this. So, you know, put it on your murder stuff and go to bed. It's so much easier for me to go to sleep during the murder stuff than it is during the fighting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, really enjoyed it. We actually watched a video afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
This was, I don't know, sometime this week. I can't remember what time, but we watched the blind guy.
Mm-hmm.
What is his screen name? Blind Sensei or something like that.
Blind something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember.
I think I put a link in the chat last time.
So yeah, they were giving some commentary. This is a guy who was completely
Blind Warrior Sven.
Yeah, Blind Warrior Sven. That's what it was. He is completely blind. He cannot see. He does wear a blindfold when he's doing these matches.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, I guess to make sure that, you know, he is absolutely blind. He cannot see anything.
Mm-hmm.
He plays by sound.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently Street Fighter VI, at least, has some really good sound cues and sound audio mixing and everything that apparently helps out very, very well. For one, he has these noise-canceling headphones, so he can't hear anybody outside of that, outside of the headphones. And that relays the sound that's coming out of the game itself.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently there are also some other aids that the game will do for you, like telling you left, right, high, low, something like that. I can't remember what they were describing when they were doing the commentary for that. But the game has aids for people who have vision impairment, people who have color impairments.
Vision impairments, I know it's been a while. The colorblind option. If you're colorblind to this thing, consider to put it on this. And then there's the accessibility options and things of that nature. And I guess over time, they've gotten more and more detailed and robust over the years. Because I remember was just a visual visual accessibility options.
Yeah.
Nothing about, I didn't recall seeing anything about hearing or hearing impaired or anything of that nature.
Yeah, I'm not sure what kind of hearing impairments it may have, but I know a lot of games now come with a lot of accessibility features to help people who are can't hear or hard of hearing with subtitles, who have vision impairments of any kind, be it colorblind or just outright blindness.
Yeah,
there's an actual game that I demoed at one of the, I think at a PAX or an E3, I think it was at a PAX, and I think that game's out now. I wish I could tell you the name of it. I cannot remember the name of the game, but they really wanted you to wear headphones while you played it, because you played it in, there was nothing on the screen, absolute darkness.
Okay.
So you had to get your, you played as somebody who was blind, and you had to get your cues from the headphones that you would wear. So if you heard the, the sound of a swing coming from the left, you block left, roll right, something like that. You would, you had the option to what you wanted to do.
Yeah.
And you could block or parry or whatever the case may be. But it was completely all narrative. The story was told to you. The action was audible to you. You could not see it. And that's how you played the game. And I cannot remember. It took place in like medieval times or something. It felt very Requiem, Plague Tale.
Yeah.
A Plague Tale Requiem. The Plague Tale games.
Yeah.
That's what it reminded me of, except those games weren't out yet, and this had no visual thing to it.
Yeah.
So for a setting, that's what it was. I wish I could remember the name of it, though, but I don't remember the name. I know that it's likely been released and has been out there. Let's see. There's been a couple of other games. There's a VR game that has you play as a blind person, but it's not as well done as what the other one that I was describing. The VR game kind of was a Daredevil type thing where you had your walking stick in your hand, and as you would tap it, the echoes of whatever you're tapping against would shape the room so you could see it.
Yeah.
But that's not really giving you a sense of being blind.
Yeah, the closest thing I can get, the closest thing I had to it was in terms of audio cues was Enemy Zero on the Saturn years back. The only thing was the enemy, you couldn't see the enemy at all. The only thing you had to know that the enemy was there was by your some sound unit that they called it a VMU. Before the Dreamcast had the VMU, they called the VMU in the game Enemy Zero, and you couldn't tell where the enemy was. You could only sense it through the tones that the VMU made. High pitch meant in front of you, low pitch meant behind you, and left or right was a mid range tone. So if it was a mid range tone, you just had to guess. You got a 50-50 shot of picking the right direction to shoot at.
Yeah. And I feel like Street Fighter VI has something like that audibly that tells you, a voice of some sort that tells you left, right, mid.
I'll have to check and see because
low, high.
I have to check and see what the accessibility features are in that game because I didn't notice anything like that. But then again, you're not going to find something you're not looking for. So I wasn't looking for it.
The game that I was thinking of is called The Veil, Shadow of the Crown. It is from a game called Falling Squirrel Studios. There are no visuals. It uses only audio. The game is fully narrated and takes place in a fantasy setting where the player will have to engage in melee combat as they explore the world around them. This is all done through the use of audio, allowing the player to follow 3D audio and determine distances and attacks. The narration is also done by a real person as opposed to a robotic voice. That game is available on PC, Xbox, and Xbox. Xbox One, Series S, and Series X. The Veil is the name of the game that I was thinking of. Anyway, watching this guy perform, the blind guy playing Street Fighter, Blind Warrior Sven, was amazing. There was apparently a documentary crew or somebody with him that were doing filming of this. He has like a team with him of maybe one or two people who help him, you know, move around for one thing, and then somebody else who helps him get everything connected and gets the settings done for him, and then he takes over from there. Apparently you have to, there's some sort of method in which he has to play that the opponent needs to agree upon. I don't remember what it is. It may be the, it may, I'm not exactly sure what it is. Mm-hmm. They may have to have those audible things turned on.
Mm-hmm.
And that
some option that you can say,
right. And the other person may hear that as well, since you're mm-hmm. all playing on the same game. You're not playing on an online thing yeah. where yours would be
just
set
next to
one
each
thing.
Other, so yeah.
Right. So you have to share whatever settings they're going to have on. And so, mm-hmm. yeah, but it was really amazing. He won that match. I don't know when he got knocked out or anything like that, but this mm-hmm. 20 minute video here of watching this guy perform mm-hmm. Was really, really spectacular to see as somebody who was blind. But the more we sat there and watched it, like the other guy got in a win, or at least a couple of rounds of a win. But overall, Blind Warrior Sven won the overall.
He didn't go 0-2.
Right.
Yeah.
But as I got to thinking, I was like, there's no real way, there's no good position for you as someone playing against this guy. Or against anybody. If somebody who is blind, we'll just say blind, we'll just pick that disability. If somebody that is blind comes up and challenges you to something that is mostly a visual thing, you should not accept the challenge.
And you're at Evo.
I understand that. I understand. My point being is that if you win against a blind guy or lose against a blind guy, there's no real celebration there.
You move forward in the tournament.
No. But my point being,
I get what you're saying too, but here's my point. Nothing, none of that matters. You're in the
tournament. I understand.
Forward.
Yeah. You're going to be great that, hey, I went forward. Yeah. Who'd you beat? The blind guy.
Yeah.
I beat the blind guy. They're going to know that that's really good. But honestly, you beat a blind guy to get to the next stage. Maybe barely, but that's my whole thing. It's like you beat a blind guy to do it, or you got beat by a blind guy. Either way, it's not, you know, it's one of those things where I know in a tournament setting, I know mm-hmm. what you're getting at. Mm-hmm. You're getting it. I know. I understand that.
Yeah.
But let's take it in not a tournament setting. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. You do the same thing. You play to the best of your ability.
I get that. Blind and otherwise. I understand that. But when you go back and tell people who don't know anything about it, it's like, oh, you beat a blind guy. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. You're not having as much fun with it as I was.
No.
I thought it was hilarious. Just to think about the fact that if I went back and said, well, I lost to a blind guy. You know, if they don't know that he's like really, really good.
Mm-hmm. I would invite them to play him and see what
happens. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. Like, how about, what was the kid? I want to say Noah something. What was he? 8? I think he was playing in the Marvel game. Yeah. How about him?
There's another good point. Yes.
Yeah. How about
totally.
Him?
Totally. I lost to an 8-year-old or I beat. Who'd you beat? The 8-year-old.
The prodigy.
Yeah,
that
right?
Noah.
So it's like, it's both things. You don't come out on top on this, except for your own peers, is what I'm saying. People who know that stuff and know, oh, wow, you beat the blind guy. That's pretty good, mm-hmm. right? Anybody
forward in the tournament,
anybody
yeah.
else, well, it took, you know, anybody else, it doesn't have the weight.
Yeah, but this
that it does.
Thing is that it's open to everybody. So whether you're blind, young, old, whatever, it's open to everybody. So come in there, and like I said earlier, play to the best of your ability because your opponent is too.
I know what you're getting at.
Regardless of what status you are.
I know.
So
I know.
Let's go.
But to take that into, again, take it out of the context of people who know that world.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work the same.
Competition?
Talking to anybody else. Maybe. I mean, it's competition, sure. I get that.
Mm.
But talking to people who don't care about the competition, talking to anybody else.
Yeah.
Basically, everyone listening to this right now
mm-hmm.
yeah. who are not into video games and just keep this on in the background. If I were like, yeah, I moved forward in the tournament. Well, who'd you beat? A blind guy. They're not going to understand the weight of that. Like, I would be impressed that I would be able to beat him.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else would. Unless they know that that world or that guy and how great he is, is what I'm getting at. Spent way too much on this. Way too much time on trying to explain the joke. So let's move forward. We got to take a break anyway. When we come back, we're going to tell you about what we've played. Mine will not really be Destiny. I'll give you my Max Payne 3 situation and tell you where I am with that. And we'll find out where RJ is with his situation in gaming and with computers again, apparently. Digimon Survive. This was in the Steam is having a, what's the word, visual novel fest. So they're taking games, I guess, that are visual novels. Digimon Survive, I don't know that it's a visual novel type of game. I know it was a card game, right?
Card?
Was Digimon a card game? No, I'm thinking of Yu-Gi-Oh, I think, is what I'm thinking of. But I thought Digimon was a type of card game. A deck-building game type thing?
It's called a bootleg Pokemon or something.
Maybe. Anyway, this is track 4 from Digimon Survive. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat, where we finally got rid of the hum.
Yeah. Thank you to those in chat who let us know that the infamous hum is gone.
The hum is gone,
yeah,
thankfully.
Just due to one big change that happened.
Yeah,
here.
I know. And that got rid of it. So that's great. And I was saying this to RJ during the break. I was like, man, to know that was the reason for the hum. And all the time I've spent trying to track this down.
Every day, every week.
Knowing afterwards that, you know what? It was that. The entire time it was that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I feel better about it, only for the fact that I, you know, the way my mind works was everything is the same as it was upstairs with the equipment that I was using.
Exactly.
The only thing that changed down here was this board, and that was it, with the exception of how we had some other things wired, and that was the reason. So anyway, music there from Wolf Among Us, the opening title of Wolf Among Us, which, as we jump into what we've been playing this week, that's on my list. I jumped back into Wolf Among Us. I'm playing while Wendy makes all the decisions as to what, you know, what has to be done.
Yeah.
Now,
Those decisions fresh on your mind?
Hmm?
Those decisions you made were fresh on your mind? You know, you still remember the path that it was supposed to go in?
Not all of them.
Okay.
There was, in this first, I do remember one from this first episode, where if you go one way, this happens. If you go another way, this happens, a very significant thing. And she chose to do the opposite of what I remember I did when I played it.
The decision involved a character?
Yeah. You either go...
I think I know the decision you're talking about. Because
right.
I specifically went back after I was done playing to see the other route.
Yeah.
I think I know the decision you're talking about, too. Yeah.
And I can remember when I originally played... And I can remember when we talked about that on this show.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that I did one thing and James did the same thing that I did. And we were both kind of wondering, well, would so-and-so have survived if we had just, if we'd done that first? And apparently we found out that, he would have.
Yeah. But because I think what it was is the sense of priority of what needs to be handled first went against that character, being in the game the rest of the way. So, yeah. That's what I think that's what it was.
So it's going to be kind of new for me because she did the opposite of what I did, which means that, part of it anyway will be different. I don't put a lot of faith into, as far as Telltale games are concerned, especially their early stuff. Maybe it changes when you get into the Game of Thrones stuff they did and the Borderlands stuff that they did. Maybe it gets into, maybe it's different when you get into the Expanse stuff that they're doing now. But back then, I realized that most of your choices don't matter in the grand scheme of things. A lot of what happened at the very end of The Walking Dead, first season, episode to episode, really didn't matter much. It came down to the end when all of you, we basically all got to the same point. And it was still emotional there as to what happened at the end. Whether... regardless of how you got there, everybody still got to the same ending. It didn't matter who you brought with you. None of these characters carried over into the next thing, into season two, whether they lived or died. It didn't matter. None of them carried over into season two, with the exception of, what's her name? Clementine.
Clementine.
She was the only one that I know of. There may have been others. I don't remember, but... I know that whatever the others that did move into the next season, their fates weren't sort of in your hands in season one to whether they lived or died. If they lived in season one, not all of them came back into season two. If they died in season one, they were never going to be in season two anyway, is my point. So it didn't matter. And so I kind of feel that way a little bit as we go into Wolf Among Us. I know that a lot of these decisions not going to matter either way, because everybody's going to get to the same point at the end of the game to where whatever choice is made is made. I don't remember. Now, I can't say that about Quantic Dream developers.
Right.
The ones who do... I may could say the same thing about Beyond Two Souls, because that was just not...
I never liked that. I didn't care for that one.
But I totally could say that about... Heavy Rain.
Oh, yeah.
I could totally say it about Detroit.
Oh, yeah. You definitely have some permanent decisions in that game that make you regret. You can make some regretful decisions in that game.
Yeah. I think those kind of games from Quantic Dream, the ones we just mentioned, and I'm forgetting one, too. They've done like three. It's Fahrenheit.
Okay,
It was called something else.
It was
it had two different names,
wasn't it?
It had two different names because it had in the UK it was called one game. It was called like Fahrenheit, and here I think it was called something else. Or let's flip that around. I can't remember.
Yeah. Fahrenheit Indigo Prophecy.
Indigo Prophecy is what I'm thinking of. Indigo Prophecy, I think, was what they called it here, and it was Fahrenheit in the UK, I believe. But that's my point.
Yeah.
Those games, Fahrenheit or Indigo Prophecy, Heavy Rain, Beyond Two Souls is kind of an outlier. But and then Detroit, and maybe the Star Wars game that they're working on, I guess. Those are some great decision-making games. Telltale has good stories and has some really good episodic ways of doing their stuff. But the decisions are pretty much... pointless up until the end. And even at the end, we all still got at the same position. It was just a sense of, I can't remember if it was like, did you do it or did you let her do it? Or what was the case that you did? I can't remember what it was. But it was really, really good, that first season. And I really liked, regardless of the decisions that you make, I really liked Wolf Among Us. Just for the detective noir type story that it was giving and making those decisions. And moving forward in the game.
Yeah.
I really, really enjoy it.
So you just had some impact.
Yeah. And playing back through it, it's been a lot of fun too. She doesn't make the decisions on, you know, when I look at an object, am I going to look at it first or then interact with it? Whatever the case, there's a couple of different options you can do. Whenever you get the free roaming part of the game where you can look around an area, I just go and we soak everything in. But when it comes to dialogue choices, and then when it comes to points where it's like in the bar, when you have to go after the woodsman or you're going after one of the Tweedles, you have to make that choice. She makes those choices. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the games that we're playing again. We played Venba. Mm-hmm. I had music for that last episode. It's on Game Pass. Venba is. So it's on Xbox Game Pass. Probably will take you 2 or 3 hours to play entirely all the way through. Mm. It is a very short game, but it was nice. It was a cooking game. It was a story type game where you learned. It starts with this couple who have moved from India to Canada, and you go through their life. They have a kid. Kid goes off to college. Kid gets done with college. It's this whole story packed in there as far as their, just their life and the struggles that they're going through. And it's a very dialogue heavy game. You do get some choices in the dialogue you select. Then you have to cook some Indian type food, which was interesting to do. And you don't have all the ingredients, or they're in a language you can't read, and you have to figure that out. It's not a heavily demanding type game that's going to frustrate you. Mm-hmm. You're going to get past that stuff. They offer generous hints so that you can get through some of the cooking thing, the order in which you add ingredients and that sort of thing. So it was really, really, it was really nice. Mm-hmm. It took two little play sessions and we were done. Probably could have got it done in one play session. But we got it done in two little play sessions there and then moved on to Wolf Among Us, which is what we're doing now. We also downloaded a game called Bramble, which I'm interested in playing. And I did put in some time with Destiny, but only taking my alts through a couple of bounty run type stuff. I'm not really doing any focusing there, but I did get to Max Payne 3. Don't remember any of it. I mean, I do little flashes here and there. Mm-hmm. I'm up to chapter 7, I think, now.
Okay.
Chapter 7 is right when old Max shaves his head and, you know, puts on the Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah.
And
he's at the point where he's taking too much loss in this job so far. So, yeah.
Yeah. So there is that. I'm still tracking down the sister-in-law or the whatever she is, the woman that was kidnapped.
Mm-hmm.
And I did the lobby fight of the security place. Mm-hmm. I did the flashback scene, or at least the first flashback. There may be another one coming up, but I did the first one. The boat chase scene, the helicopter scene, the nightclub scene. All of these things that kind of remind me of what I did. But I don't remember, I feel like I don't remember much that happens from here on out. Mm-hmm. So this may have been my little stopping point. Unless something else jars my memory. But so far, that's it. I will say, glitchy game on the PC. Horribly glitchy. There were parts of it that I was not sure that I was going to be able to get through without downloading a save to put me past that point in the game. Plenty of moments where my character... There's one scene where you're on the helicopter and you have a I don't want to say a sniper rifle, but a pretty long-range rifle as you're trying to leave the helipad, and you got these guys you got to shoot. Almost immediately, every time I would peek around the corner as this scene would start, I'd take one bullet, one hit, dead. And it would and I'd restart the checkpoint. And sometimes when I'd restart the checkpoint, my character model would be outside of the helicopter. And I wouldn't be able to move my gun to where I need to aim. Mm-hmm. And then he would fall out of the helicopter and no clip through whatever the terrain was and then just stand there. I couldn't move him. I couldn't do anything. Mm-hmm. I'd have to Alt F4 to get out of the game and then restart and then try again and try again. And there was all these things. Eventually, somehow, I don't know how, but eventually I was able to shoot the guys in the correct order, I suppose, but I moved past that part. But I would run into other glitches. The boat scene had some glitches when I was on the boat. There were all these little, apparently all these little things where it wasn't just move through and shoot your gun type stuff. It was cinematic on rails, shoot this, shoot that type of thing that would glitch out for me. Because for the most part, I was fine. But I'm running into a lot of glitchy things in the game. So, but yeah, that's what I'm working on now. And then I don't know what I'll hit up next. It's probably going to be between Titanfall 2 or Control.
Okay.
But I don't know which I'm going to try first. Maybe Control, just because that's just been on my radar for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't touched any of that. So, what about you? What'd you play?
Still getting back into Elden Ring. Made some progress in the storyline of my fourth character, trying to play through with that.
Yeah.
Still trying to go through without using a shield, which is pretty difficult because this is a bleed build I've got. So I can't really do damage to an enemy unless I cause bleeding damage. But I think I've said last week that there's some enemies that just don't bleed. So what do you do to counteract that? Other than using magic and using heavier weapons. Unfortunately for me, the bleed build that I have is not conducted to strength. It's conducted to dexterity and arcane stats. So there's not a lot of heavy weapons that I can use. So pretty much the only weapon I can use that actually causes the enemy to stagger or drop his or her poise is the Serpent Slayer, which is a custom weapon you get for beating a Praetor Rykard in the boss fight at Volcano Manor. They made it to where pretty much anybody can use it. You don't have to have a lot of strength or stats or stat-wise to use it. But, that's going to storm.
Yeah.
And it's hot. So it's going to be hot and muggy now.
Yep. Yeah. Sorry, we just heard thunder.
Yeah. Anyway, so basically it's the only weapon I can use that's heavy that can actually do some make an enemy back off pretty much, keep them from rushing in and attacking.
Yeah.
So I'm having to adjust as needed. Because I'm used to using weapons like that for my other three alts. My main is uses a spear, so that can back someone off. My heavy weapons, of course, will make someone back off.
Yeah.
And my intelligence build is magic. I can hit someone from a distance with that, so I don't have to worry about someone getting up close. They shouldn't be up close because I have magic.
Yeah.
So using that. So this one, because it's a bleed build, I'm going to be up close with no shield and trying to basically use evade to avoid any damage. So a little difficult, but worthwhile to me anyway, getting through that. It also plays a bit of MLB The Show. Still working on my Road to the Show character, still in the majors, haven't been sent down yet. Haven't played bad enough to be sent back down to AAA or AA or anything like that, so that's still a thing. And something new that I started playing was I gave a shot to Payday 2.
Oh.
After I did the sale on PlayStation Network.
So you're playing on PlayStation?
Played on PlayStation PS4. And since it was the first time playing the thing, I went to the tutorial to see what everything was about. And it looks a little overwhelming right now. There's a whole bunch of stuff, information to take in right now. So I'm just trying to get the gist of the game right now. Just see what this is all about. So I did the tutorial mission, silent. All I got to do is steal a USB drive, that mission, right? So, okay, cut a hole in the fence, go through, take out the security guard. And so the first thing I noticed was, okay, first person shooting. And, oh, I have to aim down the sights. There's no reticle or anything like that. See, I'm used to Warframe, Destiny, two things like
really?
That.
Really,
there's no dot there. At least
really,
not that I see. I have to aim down the sights with the handgun I'm using, and to make matters worse, the handgun has a silencer on it, so I literally cannot see down the sights. I have to see above them and guess. Maybe there's a setting I'm missing. I don't know. This is the first time playing through, so I don't know.
It's been a while since I played it, so I don't know. Yeah.
So I'm having to guess where the bullet is for the silenced headshot, so I can take the guard out. So
miraculously, I got the shot in. Now I have to hide the body because we're going silent.
Right.
Okay. Body bag. Got that. Put the cadaver in the dumpster. Okay, we did that. Now, two more guards, but I have no more body bags. Then the tutorial tells you, as a lesson, prep for your future heists. Mm-hmm. If you're going to go silent, you might want to pack a lot of body bags so you don't want anybody discovering anything. If you're going loud, of course, you're not going to care. There's going to be bodies everywhere if you're going loud. So if you're going silent, pack a lot of body bags with you. So they had three there. So put the other two guards away, things of that nature. Got the item. Now I want to get out. Then he says, the Bane, the controller of the heist or whatever. He says, don't kill this guy. After I killed three folks, he says, don't kill this guy. But he's looking for his, okay, go figure. But as I'm going through, I'm like, okay, he could see me from here. He has to be able to see me from here. So I can't go down these stairs because he's going to notice and everything's over. And he's not moving. He's still looking in the same direction. Now, I'm thinking stealth is like he can see you from such a long way away. You can't be able to do things like that. So I'm thinking, okay.
Every game has their own definition of
stealth. So I'm like, okay, what do I have to do here? Because there's only one way off this off this rooftop. It's the stairway that he's standing in front of and looking at.
That I'm pretty sure he'd be able to see you with, right?
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, do I have to... I've shot tires out of a car in the area, thought maybe the noise or something would get him to move over to the area. Nothing worked. And I'm looking around. There's no way off this thing. And I'm like, okay, I've got to be missing something. Maybe there's an alternate route to get off this thing. And there's not. Turns out, after about 10, 15 minutes of trying to find an alternate solution to get off this roof, he doesn't move until you go down the steps. The one way off this roof, he doesn't move until you go towards him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm right in eyesight of this guy. How is he not seeing me? Okay.
Well, for one, you're doing the tutorial, so it's all programmed.
Yeah, but still, the fact that I spent that much time thinking about actual stealth, and like you said, every game has its own definition of stealth.
Yeah, and you've got to figure out what that is.
Yeah.
You know?
So, after that was done, got through that, and now I have to make adjustments accordingly to my stealth options, and then... Do I want to go through this again or just go through loud? But I probably will go stealth because I really don't have much. Everything has to, you have to build stuff up.
You do,
skills
yeah.
and stats.
You
things
have
like that.
To
got to build your money and all that stuff.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
You do that. You build up your stats. You build up your bankroll.
Yeah.
From the things you've stolen, which will help you in the next heist that you do because you can spend that money to upgrade your weapons and gear and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
But that game is a lot of fun in co-op more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can sit there and coordinate with your other players as to what you're doing. It's fantastically built for co-op. The time I had with it on PC was just wonderful. And I'm looking forward to Payday 3 eventually. It's probably not a game I'm going to pick up right out of the gate. But to know that you're playing on PlayStation, I don't know if it's got cross-platform play or... if it's got it to where cross-generational play. Like, I guess I would play it on the PS5 in order to play with you, or I can do that on PC if they have cross-platform play. I haven't really looked it up to see.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been a while since I played that game.
Yeah.
Been a long while since I played that game. I would probably have to go through it as well.
Yeah, 2018 when it came out? Or
No. You got to go back further than that, yeah.
2013, I'm sorry. Yeah, 2013, yeah. I think.
It's an old game.
Yeah.
It's a very old game. Oh. Yeah. All right, let's go to the phones and talk to Chris. Hey, Chris.
What's going on?
Not much. I was hoping our phones might be better, too, but I guess not.
We asked for too much.
I know.
Well, I got it on speakerphone.
Take it off a speaker if you could.
This better?
You sound better, yes.
Okay. We all been having fun, huh?
Yeah, I mean, you know, playing video games. What about you?
I've been playing more of Diablo 4.
Of course.
Yep.
I don't know, you jumping into Baldur's Gate or no? Well, that's a PC. That's a PC game, right?
Well, it's going to be coming out on the consoles too, eventually, or right around the corner.
Okay, I wasn't sure.
I'll have to look at it and all and think about it, but I most likely will down the road if it looks good and seem like I'll enjoy it.
It has displaced, I would say, Diablo 4 from a lot of people's playlist. I didn't know that it was going to have that kind of a pull. I really didn't. I really did not know that Baldur's Gate 3 was going to have that big of a debut that it had. And to hold on to that debut for moving on into the next ever how many. Baldur's Gate will just stick around until Starfield hits. And I think Starfield will drive some people away, but probably not. They'll stick around with it. I was surprised. I really was. Not because I didn't think it had the, you know, the ability to stay relevant or to stay, you know, in people's hands or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's Diablo 4, man. To put those two together, and I don't know the history of Baldur's Gate. I know that it's been around for a while. It's a legacy type franchise. Mm-hmm. I just didn't know that this was going to have the weight that it had, this third one, to pull people away from Diablo like that, or to just take over the zeitgeist of gamers. So,
did it have the effect that Elden Ring had on folks, like the entry level, the entry into the Soul series? Because yeah. Baldur's Gate may have been the entry for folks into this style of play.
I don't know. I really don't know. I'm not sure. I have no idea.
I've always heard of the title, but I've never really got into it. I mean, look, this is number three. So there's been two more before it, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Two more before it. So it's probably maybe the same effect that Elden Ring had on the first time
it's possible.
Soulsborne type players.
Yeah,
had on these players.
It's possible. That's what I'm saying is I don't know. Like, I played Diablo 3. Mm-hmm. I knew of the history of Diablo. So I knew Diablo 4, big deal. Baldur's Gate, I never touched, never played. I never really talked to anybody that had played it. Mm-hmm. I didn't know the player base for that game. And I didn't know how wide and massive that player base is. Mm-hmm. Or at least how popular that was going to become. Just, I didn't see it. I really didn't see it. I'd mm-hmm. seen videos of Baldur's Gate. I'd seen... You know, we'd seen the E3 stuff. We'd seen, like, the free alpha tests or whatever, where you could jump in and play the game to test, you know, during early access and stuff like that. But it was not on my radar. Mm-hmm. I knew it was going to be a big deal, but I'd kind of written it off. I just didn't know it was going to be that big of a deal. Mm-hmm. It was huge. But anyway, you've been playing Diablo 4. I don't know why we're talking about Baldur's Gate 3, because I brought it up. But you've been playing Diablo 4. You working on your next character, I guess, or what do you...
Yeah, me and Mason finally beat the game, and he made the choice at the start of the season on character and everything, and I was about to jump on and expect him to play with his barbarian, but he started the druid, and I said, well, I want to play with him and his friends in the seasonal content, so I decided to make a druid too, so I finally got a build together and got some powerful items that it's all meshing together, and I don't feel like throwing the controller around the room when I'm getting mad at the game, because I'm dying too quickly.
Yeah. Mm. Wait, how many classes were there available at the start?
There's five.
Five, okay. You're going to make one of each?
Eventually, but from what I've read and everything and what Mason has read, that after the season is over, you get to keep the character that you were playing as, so I'll be able to keep him, and it'll go over to the Eternal Realm where I can keep them all eventually, so I'll make the most of it, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah,
I don't know. I was going to look and see how many. What are your choices in Baldur's Gate? Because you said there was five. I don't know how many are in here. Let's see: barbarian, fighter, monk, paladin, ranger, rogue.
Yeah, more than Diablo.
Bard, cleric, druid, sorcerer, warlock, wizard. Wow.
Wait, what's the difference?
Wow.
Warlock, wizard?
Wait. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. There's 12 different classes to pick from in Baldur's Gate. Barbarian, bard, cleric, druid, fighter, monk, paladin, ranger, rogue, sorcerer, warlock, and wizard. I feel like sorcerer, warlock, and wizard are like maybe...
Similar.
Yeah, you know, like those seem...
Yeah, it's like I was thinking, like warlock and wizard, the
druid, monk, and cleric,
right?
You know?
Yeah.
Seem to kind of fall into that same thing. Fighter, barbarian. You know,
one has a sword, one has a club.
And I'm sure there's differences. So
yeah, probably.
The folks of you who are thinking, oh, you, I'm reading off what I saw here. I'm thinking, sure there's differences.
Now, Bard, I'm thinking, has to be a support character.
Oh, well, as Drunk Degenerates is saying in the chat room there, this is based on D&D stuff. So Sorcerer, Wizard, and Warlock have different approaches to how they get their magic.
Mm-hmm.
Classes vary quite a bit from what they're telling me in the chat room there. So. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you if you ever do jump over to Baldur's Gate, you have some choices to make, my friend.
Yeah. But yeah, I've been enjoying the my druid build where you can shapeshift between a werewolf and werebear and everything. And werebear. I finally found some
werebear.
Very powerful items. Now, one of the skills is Hurricane, and it lasts for quite a bit. It lasts for 9 seconds, and I've got a skill that increases its duration by 15%, but it deals 1,500 to almost 2,000 damage by itself, and it's just a big swirling, you know, mass of winds around you. But I found a power aspect that I put on one of my amulets that hurricane damage is increased by 14% each second while it's active, so it goes up through the roof, and like everything just dies instantly, you know, in a matter of seconds when I activate it, and it's a cooldown. But yeah, it's been pretty fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was increase your stats and things like that. It's like any games of that nature. Yeah. Creative ways to implement this and that. Let's see what happens when I do this.
Very much. Let's see what happens when I do this. That's always the fun aspect of putting in builds like this, whether it be Diablo 4, whether it be Destiny 2, when I put in my character builds. Mm-hmm. You know, let's see how well this runs when I get into the thick of things. And it is a great feeling when you find that, and I hate to use that corporate word, but when you find that synergy between all the different things you've put together on your build, your character, and they just all play so well together whenever you get into those fights and the reason you built them. So, Hey, Chris, we're at the top of the hour here. We got to run, but we appreciate you calling in, and we look forward to talking to you next week.
Yep. Well, right now the build it's like a catchy song, but you know, once I get powered up and find more skills and stuff, it's going to be so catchy that everybody would be addicted to it. But yeah, that's what's so fun about the games like this, that you can have all kind of different fun and figure out different combinations that really work well together.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you later, Chris.
All right. See ya.
See ya.
Take care now.
Bye-bye. We got to go. When we come back, we will jump into the news, which we've got some to talk about. Some good, some not so great. Not that it's necessarily bad news, but there were some disappointments in the news this week. And looking at you, Take Two and Red Dead Redemption. We got music here. I say Take Two, but it's also Rockstar. This is music from a game called Thronefall. It is called All or Nothing. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from a game called Limbus Company. It's just some battle music.
Yeah, that mispronunciation may be my fault because what we were talking about earlier got you thinking about something else.
Yeah, we're talking about some of that food that was in Venba and what he was going to be making for dinner tonight. And I think you decided on shrimp and grits.
Shrimp and grits.
Yeah.
Yep.
So That'll be nice to have. You're making those yourself, by the way. Not going anywhere to buy them, but right. You're going to make them yourself. Although, if you're going to go somewhere and buy them, maybe we suggest Seafood Bistro. Right here. They've got shrimp and grits. News. Jumping into the news side of things. Man, I was disappointed to find out that all the internet sleuthing and all of the speculation and all of these things where we thought we were going to get a remaster to the first Red Dead Redemption was completely misinterpreted, I suppose, is a good word to put it. No, Red Dead Redemption is coming to the Nintendo Switch and the PS4. Ooh, that was lightning. Okay. Well, we're still on the air. Although, if anything should happen here, I may have to just play music and run around the station for a while to turn stuff back on. I don't know.
Yeah, lightning tends to play havoc at a radio station.
We'll see how this works. But just letting you know ahead of time, if anything goes down here, I got to go fix it. So, anyway, point being, we were expecting a remaster of Red Dead. I was hoping for a remaster of Red Dead for consoles and for PC, which Red Dead the First is still not on PC. Red Dead 2 is, but Red Dead 1 is not. So we're thinking we're going to get all that. Nope, we're just getting a Switch port. By the way, these are ports. There is no upscale. Yeah. There is no whatever. It is ports.
Yep.
Switch same. And PS4.
Same game, different system.
Yep. Apparently, they just wanted it to be able to be backwards compatible and also on the Switch. Because now, if you only have a PS5, you can still play Red Dead Redemption by buying the PS4 version and playing it through the PS5's backward compatibility. Which is something you could also do on the Xbox systems currently. You just couldn't do it on PlayStation because there was no PlayStation 4 version of Red Dead Redemption. I really wanted a remaster of that. Really would like to have it on the newer systems, or at least on PC, and have it look... Now, if they put it on PC, I'm sure the community or whatever will take care of that in some way. Not as good as it could be, but in some way. So anyway, not getting it, unfortunately. Let's see. We're getting Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. That is your Call of Duty for the year that is coming out, Modern Warfare 3. It is confirmed for a November launch. And we also found out that everything you unlocked in last year's game will carry over into Modern Warfare 3. That is the first time they have done anything like that in the history of Call of Duty. Not only that, I had something else. That Sony was going to get the demo for Modern Warfare 3 will be available first on PlayStation. Not a joint release, not... something, you know, not coming to Xbox first, even though, you know, pretty much a given now that it's going to be an Xbox game, but
yeah,
a Microsoft title. But yeah, Modern Warfare 3's demo will be on PlayStation first. 5 days before any other platform. That's according to an advert that was taken from Sony's Arabic YouTube channel. Reportedly said that players can play the demo first on PlayStation at least 5 days before any other platform. That was spotted and translated by somebody, and as is usually the case, you'll only be able to participate in the first beta if you've pre-ordered the game. So yeah, that's how you'll get it. We're also reading the chat room while I go through this as well. So, but yeah, that was announced also. What else did we have? Pokemon had something with a bunch of announcements as well. Steam Decks, we got used copies now, or used, what are they called? Factory refurbished?
Yeah.
So Valve is selling those, but also you can find those in certain stores that will also be selling all three models at a, what did it say? 20% off the normal price. So you'll get a 20% off discount for the refurbished models that you can pick up at Valve and where else? They said there was, that there was another place you could find them. GameStop. So Valve and GameStop. The 64 gig will be $320. The 256 gig will be $420. And the 512 gig will be $520. Normally $650, $520, and $400 on all those prices. The units at GameStop will only be available to GameStop Pro members. That may change, and likely will, but currently those are only available to GameStop Pro members, and through Valve, it doesn't matter if you're a GameStop member or anything like that. Mm. You can get it through the way Valve is selling them. Let's see, what else do we have? Yeah, there was the Red Dead Redemption port. It's still $50 for PS4 and for Switch, which a lot of people are like, it's a little pricey, but apparently Take-Two says that is commercially accurate. The port is a great bundle for the first time and certainly a great value for consumers. Yes, you get everything for Red Dead Redemption, including the DLC of the Undead Nightmare stuff. Currently, however, you can buy Red Dead Redemption 1 on the Xbox Store for $30, and then get all the DLC, including the Undead Nightmare, for $13 more bucks. That's $43.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, even though it's, what, a $7 difference with the $50? Now, I don't know if you're counting tax on that sort of thing.
It's called a convenience fee.
Likely.
Yeah. But I'm trying to think of some games that no matter what the situation, the price would not go down. I think Nintendo was notorious for that for a minute. And then, what was that, Sonic? Heavenly Sword. Remember that time? That price would never go down
it
no matter what happened.
It never went down.
Age, the popularity, nothing would change that price. Change the price of that game.
There's a couple of those first party games. I say first party, those first PlayStation 3 launch titles.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how far back we're going?
I'll have to check and see. But yeah,
that was a PlayStation 3 launch title. Yeah. Heavenly Sword was. There's a couple of other games that were launch titles that were for PlayStation 3 that were still hard to see them drop price on.
Yeah, PS3 and September of 2007.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was also some air combat game. And I can't remember what it was called. It was a launch title.
Launch for the PS3 launch title?
Yeah. Thunder something?
Yeah. Can't think of it right now. Let's see.
Air Combat PS3 launch title. That says Ace Combat Infinity. That's not what I'm looking for. Man, it was called...
Genji, Days of Blade, Marvel Ultimate.
Maybe it was PS4.
Motorstorm.
Birds of Steel, Ace Combat Assault. Nope. Skyfighter, no. Afterburn, no. There's Iltu Sturmovik. That's not it.
Yeah, I remember that. I still got to finish that game. I got to learn how to take off in that game. That's
maybe
what,
I'm thinking
that's
of.
I
must be thinking of Warhawk. That's what I'm thinking of. It was Warhawk.
Okay.
That took a while to come down, too. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But nothing like Heavenly Sword. That was annoying.
Yeah.
Because I actually wanted to buy it. Mm-hmm. I think I was playing it through like a rental or through Gamefly at the time. But I really, really enjoyed it. Played it all the way through.
Mm-hmm. I hope this is off. New price.
For what?
Heavenly Sword says, but new price, 40, 42.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's still, that's a PS3 title.
Mm-hmm.
$40. Now, I know I can probably go find a used copy somewhere.
Yeah, eBay, something like that. Yeah, I'm looking
maybe,
at it.
Yeah. You know. Not that I want it now because I don't have a PlayStation 3 to play it on, and I bet it's not backwards compatible from that to PlayStation 5.
Yeah.
So I'll have to just, you know what? I'll just do an emulator.
Yeah, you can do that.
Play it on my Steam Deck.
See, we got options. We got options, you know, so yeah.
That's what I'll do.
Let's see. I'm going to just do a quick
No, go ahead.
eBay. Wow. Right off the bat, first window popped up, $38.
God. For a used copy.
Yeah. No, wait. Yeah. Used 38, brand new 4360. Open box 16. Pre-owned 9. So yeah. Still high after all these years.
Moving on, Devolver Digital held a showcase. So did THQ Nordic, by the way. Devolver's was very fast. It was a 3-minute showcase. And it was called the Devolver Delayed. They announced The Plucky Squire. They showed Stick It to the Stickman, Skate Story, Angerfoot, Pepper Grinder. All of those got moved to 2024. And they also did a quick little tweet or X or whatever it's called, telling you, here's what is still coming out this year. Gunbrella, Karma Zoo, The Talos Principle 2, Wizard with a Gun, and The Cosmic Wheel of Something Sisterhood. Those are staying. All the ones that I mentioned, Skate Story, Plucky Squire, all of those are moving to 2024. So that was their very fast direct. THQ Nordic, however, and let me see what we had there. That I watched last night because I had heard that there was a new South Park game announced and a new Ninja Turtles game announced. What I had forgotten was that THQ also handles the folks that worked on the guys that used to work for Criterion making Burnout games.
Mm-hmm.
They went on to make a studio called Three Fields Entertainment. They did Dangerous Golf.
Oh, yeah.
Then they did Dangerous Driving. And then we saw a tease for a game they're working on called Wreck Nation. Recreation, something like that. Anyway, I had forgotten that they were the ones doing that until I saw this intro for this...
Recreation, yeah.
Yeah. Until I saw the intro for this whole THQ thing, and I was like, oh, whoa, the racing game's in there. So I was completely hooked. I was ready to watch.
Mm-hmm.
So we got some of that, but I'll go over what we did get. A game called South Park Snow Day. It doesn't look like it is the RPG the previous two games have been. I don't exactly know. It was a group battle type thing. I'm not sure. But it is coming out sometime next year to all of the systems, by the way. We got a remake of Gothic 1. We got to see something called Outcast: A New Beginning. That is an interesting title. It's the sequel to Appeal Studios' 1999 open-world sci-fi adventure, which I guess was called Outcast? Original protagonist returns. None of this looked familiar to me. No release date for it, but it's coming to PlayStation, Xbox, and PC whenever it does release. Space for Sale was shown off. This is something that we'd seen previous in one of these other things, either Xbox or one of these, maybe even a Nintendo thing. It's a hands-on management sim. Players attempt to flex their galactic property magnate muscles. You're down on the ground and you have to clear out land, start building your stuff, and, you know, basically sell real estate.
Yeah. Is
what that is. It's only confirmed for PC. There is no release date yet, but there is a closed beta coming up, so you can sign up for that. Tempest Rising. Looks like a real-time strategy game out of the 90s. Slipgate Ironworks is the studio building it. It unfolds in an alternate 1997 where Earth has been ravaged by nuclear war. It serves up a blend of base building and hard-hitting combat, all designed to capture the magic of those 90s classics. Three playable factions, a skirmish and multiplayer mode as well. It currently has a playtest on Steam going on now through the 28th of August that you can enjoy. Titan Quest 2 was shown off, but not much. No release date, but it will be on PC at some point. Trine 5 was shown off. This trailer was really annoying. Had people playing it, and then somebody else would come into the room and start playing it with them, and then somebody else would come into the room, and then somebody else would come in the room. Pick up and play co-op has been, I thought, something that Trine 5 always had, but maybe pick up and play couch co-op it didn't have, but that's what it's getting. Anytime you involve people to come in and play a part, not play a game, but play a part to where they're joining in on a game, it's always very cringy into how they write that, because that's just not how people, it's just not how it works. It's not the dialogue people have that I know of whenever they're playing together or whenever they walk into a room and somebody's playing a video game and they want to play with them. Just the dialogue they write for that just doesn't work.
Yeah, last time I saw that was in an arcade, like playing Gauntlet back in the day.
It was cringy.
Or four-player Turtles or something like that, you know?
They got the message across as to how it works but what they meant, but yeah, it was a little cringe. It comes out at the end of this month on console and PC. Got some more look at Alone in the Dark. It's a reimagined version of Alone in the Dark, handled by a Swedish developer called Pisces Interactive with Soma. Oh, okay. The writer of Soma and Amnesia, The Dark Descent, is working on this. Let's see. It takes the basic premise of the 1992 survival horror classic, in which private detective Edward Carnby helps Emily Hartwood investigate her uncle's suicide at the gloomy mansion and attempts to filter the original's blend of exploration, combat, puzzles, and story through a more modern lens. It'll be out October the 25th on Xbox, PlayStation, and PC. Last Train Home, that interests me a lot. Parts of it did. My problem was is they incorporated... there's aspects of the train where you upgrade your train and you also deck out the cabins of the train and the different
parts, carriages.
Yeah, the different train aspects to it of like, this is going to be the kitchen, this is going to be beds, this is going to be medical, this is going to be this. And you have to, as the train's moving, you go through and you make sure that it's like a management sim type thing.
Train builder or something like that.
Well, you don't build the train. I mean, you do, but you don't lay the track down and figure out its path. You just add cars.
No, you're focusing on the train. Yeah. Not the path. Yeah, just the cars.
And you make sure that this has more power, or this has power that it needs, or this has what it needs, all these different supplies, as you make your trip from point A to point B.
Mm-hmm.
I liked that aspect. But there were aspects of it where your characters disembark from the train, and then you have to go through fighting, because it does take place during like World War One or Two. I can't remember. What is that? It's an epic survival strategy game inspired by real historical events. It sees players guiding a squad of Czechoslovakian soldiers back home. Unfortunately, bleak and unforgiving landscape of Siberia lies between them and their ticket to safety. The armored train of the title and players will need to manage their scarce resources and engage in real-time tactical battles to survive. I don't want to do the real-time tactical battles.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to manage my train from point A to point B. And I liked that aspect of it. The other stuff, I did not care for at all. Way of the Hunter. It's one of those hunting games. Moving on. Well, they didn't show any hunting. They just showed a bunch of great-looking animals and a bunch of scenic vistas.
But you kill animals at.
And then it showed, like, you with a bow. And that's it. And then I thought, oh, okay, I know what this is. It's a safari, big game hunt, whatever. Moving on. Recreation. Three Phil Studios, the team of ex-Criterion devs who did Dangerous Driving and Dangerous Golf. Dangerous Golf is fun. Don't let the name fool you. They revealed their open-world racer, Recreation, last year. It's on freedom and player-created content. Play it with players working together if they choose, able to whip up their own physics-defying courses on the fly for a quick bit of racing wherever they roam. There's still no release date. It was supposed to launch this year, but we still don't have one. The new trailer was shown off. It'll be released on Xbox, PlayStation, and PC. But we still have no date. The trailer was okay. It showed off more of the building aspects and then racing on it than it actually did most of the racing. Like, I haven't really seen a lot of racing. And I want to see more of that. This trailer hints at the different cars you can select. It hinted at the different views you can have as you're racing. It highlighted all the ways you can build tracks and the ways you can just put stuff on your tracks and then drive through it. But it really didn't show a lot of racing. We also were shown The Last Ronin, which is a game based on the Ninja Turtles miniseries called The Last Ronin. There was no release date, but it will be coming to PlayStation, Xbox, and PC. So that's what we got out of the THQ Nordic Direct whatever thing. So I'm going to take a break. When we come back, we'll finish off the news here. And we got music here from Max Payne 3. Because, you know, I've been playing Max Payne 3. So this track is called Shells. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. This is music from The Walking Dead. I'm guessing it's season one. It's called It's Over is the track title. Since we had gotten on the telltale kick of the Wolf Among Us, that's why I picked this. During the break, we were talking about other games. We were talking about L.A. Noire, basically. Which is where you... again, make those choices and decisions. But I felt like parts of that weren't as consistent when you were trying to make those choices. It was very... I don't remember. But I'm curious to go back to it because you were telling me all these things, and I was like, man, I don't remember.
Yeah. Kind of like it was with Max Payne. Yeah. Basically, my point in the whole thing was...
parts of it, yeah. I remember. I remember the... I remember some of the shootouts that you had to do, like when it got into that aspect. I remember when you got moved to arson, which I think was the last case. I remember the hospital. I remember all that stuff that happens towards the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember certain parts of the first, like a bar. I remember going to a woman's house and looking around the house and then talking to her about, you know, whatever the case was that we were on. I remember using phones.
Yeah. There's plenty of houses you're going
to
look through.
And then you had to use their phone to call to get something checked.
Using their phones, the game well, outside phones,
yeah.
the police box, all types of things
right.
like that.
I remember
that. You had to get information from the from dispatch.
There's little vague yeah. parts of it that I remember.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily know if it's my video game memory or my memory overall that has really taken a hit. Whether it be the heart attack or the COVID, I don't remember. Because my memory is taking a hit. Mm-hmm. But there are aspects of my memory that just aren't there. And maybe this is just age coming in or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it's weird how... Like, I wrote a review for that game
mm-hmm.
on our old website, Colony of Gamers. I wrote a full-on review of that. But I don't remember much of it. I remember liking certain aspects of it. Or liking it up to a point and then mm-hmm. having issue with it. And I cannot remember what it was. I'd have to go back and look at my review. But I am interested in going back to it. I am interested in revisiting it. I know they did a remaster or revamp or something they did with it. Or they did a VR thing too, I think.
Yeah, they did a VR thing with it.
The VR missions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think what the complaint was a lot of people were talking about with the... determining whether or not people were lying or telling the truth or whatever mm-hmm. through facial expressions. But sort of facial expressions ain't there. Some people are just good liars, really. But
I do remember it had a bunch of actors from, like, Mad Men, the series yeah. Mad Men in it.
Three or four?
Yeah, a good little chunk.
Three or four
yeah.
from Mad Men were in there. And then folks that you see later on.
And there were some other familiar faces.
A lot of familiar faces.
Might be interesting to go back and look at that and be like, oh, I know that guy now, you know, where it's like, you know.
Yeah, or just look at the...
wasn't as known, but now is.
Or just look at the cast on IMDb.
There's that too.
They're right there.
Could do but that yeah. as well.
One of the drawbacks I had with that game was the change of truth, doubt, and lie. Seems simple that mm-hmm. way. Then they change it to good cop, bad cop, and...
When did they do that?
I think it was in the...
or was it a certain case that
no,
changed?
It was the game they did that with.
Wait, the whole game got changed?
The choice option. Good cop, bad cop. It was always truth, doubt, and lie.
You
and
mean it's been changed?
It was changed when I got the PS... When I got it on the PS4 version.
Really?
It was changed to some other type of aspect. A good cop, bad cop. And I'm trying to remember what lie was called. If it was still
I don't
called
remember
lie.
This. No, I remember it being truth, doubt, lie.
Truth, doubt, and lie.
Yeah. yeah.
Now it's like good cop, bad cop, and I think lie, maybe.
What?
Yeah.
I mean, it's been forever since I've gone back to it.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, the meat of me playing this game was on PS3.
Yeah, yeah. the original and release. It, yeah, I think mine was on the Xbox 360.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I got the PS4 version, and it had... The good cop, bad cop option instead of a truth, lie, and doubt.
I'm pulling up my phone, not because I'm going to my Steam account. Yeah. I'm going to see if I have the game. And after that, I want to see. Oh, maybe I don't. Ooh, this says that I do not. Oh, never mind. I do.
You do?
Okay. Well, you have to put in L.A. You can't just type La.
La Noire.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
That's French, ain't it?
The last time I played this game, it says I played for 7.5 hours. Mm-hmm. The last time I played it was August 18th of 2013. Huh.
Okay, wait. Okay, Okay, the truth, doubt, and lie options were renamed in the remastered edition of the game to Good Cop, Bad Cop, and Accuse.
What?
In order to more accurately reflect the nature of the three options.
Truth, doubt, lie does not give you, like, that is not confusing.
No, it's not.
That doesn't, that's this pretty
person,
clear.
This person's telling the truth. You doubt what this person says. This fool is lying his tail off. That's pretty simple to me.
Wow. I had no idea.
Who is this? Yeah, who is this for?
Let's see. Can I go to the store page? Well, let me go to the store page. Game info and links. Store page. Let's go to the store page. Yeah, view page. There's a thing. The reason I'm doing it, and I should have done this on my computer instead of my phone.
I wonder if there's an option to change it back on the remaster, because I don't think I looked into that either.
I'm scrolling down here to see if I can find... It's playable on the deck, by the way. To see if I can find some reviews here. Our friend Kevin wrote a review back in March of 2021.
Mm-hmm.
It says, "Oh my God, this game is aggravating. It's so cool, and yet the dialogue is so dumb. The environment is so neat, yet all the game wants me to do is chase and shoot people. There's so much it does really badly, but I can't uninstall it after all these years. Sometimes just starting to hear the menu music and perhaps take a few spins around LA. The story and the game's approach fall flat, but the setting is sometimes worth the price." Let's see. That's a 2013. Let's see. I'm looking for other things. "I don't mind the visuals or how I dated. The strong point of this game is the story. It's similar to Mafia and Mafia 2. I don't see where... Oh, God, the Rockstar launcher. That's another thing. When I fired up Max Payne, mm-hmm. I had to go through the Rockstar launcher in order to do it. That was annoying.
Yeah, I think you mentioned that last time, yeah, how annoying having to go through a different part to just launch the game. Yeah.
Huh. I'm still reading through some of these reviews. I don't see anybody complaining about the Switch. That's so weird. I had no idea. Had no idea. I'm going to see if I have this. I've got it on PC, but I'm going to see if I have this on the on backwards compatible on one of my systems.
Yeah.
Consoles. I want to fire that thing up and see.
Yeah, and I'm going to see if I can if there's an option to change it back to
truth,
doubt, and lie.
If I don't, I'm going to probably reinstall it on Steam and go mm-hmm. through that and see if it's done that way. I had no idea.
Yeah,
I don't like that though. Unless when you go through the tutorial, they give you an explanation of like, play good cop if you think they're telling the truth. Play bad cop if you think they're lying. What was the other one?
Accuse as the substitute for lie. Good cop is a substitute for truth. Bad cop is a substitute for doubt. Doubt is when you think they're lying, but you don't have proof.
Right, okay.
And then accuse is a substitute for lie.
But see, that doesn't work for me.
No.
Accuse makes me...
Certainly doesn't work for me.
Yeah, accuse makes me think that you're pinning them for the thing, you know? I don't know.
To me, the other option. The original setup was simpler.
Way more simpler.
So, yeah.
But I say this without going through the remaster to know, like, when they go through the tutorial or whatever it is at the beginning, to explain this.
Yeah.
Perhaps there's better sense made there.
Yeah, look, they did explain what the options were during interrogations. They did, so they probably did it again, just a different wording. But
yeah,
I still like the old way better.
So now that we've gotten off on a rant there, let's jump back in and tell you what we got going on. Let's see. Nintendo has patented the abilities that were used in Tears of the Kingdom. They've also patented the loading screen of the game. Nintendo is very, very big on keeping their property secure.
They go the extra mile in terms of protecting their stuff.
Yeah,
and we've seen the penalty of people going after their stuff illegally. We saw it happen to that I forget the guy's name, but the one who was modding mods and ROMs and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we saw the penalty would happen to him.
PlayStation Plus titles for August. You are getting Sea of Stars, which is an RPG. That's kind of cool. You're also getting Moving Out 2, Lost Judgment, and the Witch Queen campaign from Destiny 2 will now be available for PS Plus. So if you didn't pick that up, now you can. Found out that Neil Druckmann, the co-studio head of Naughty Dog, one of the directors of The Last of Us, one of the writers of The Last of Us over at Naughty Dog, he is writing and directing another game. His bio on his Instagram page says writer, director, unannounced game. So he's working on something. Don't know what yet. Bungie has confirmed that their character Commander Zavala from Destiny 2, who was voiced by Lance Riddick, who passed away recently here. Well, I say recently. It was just before John Wick 4 released, actually. Mm-hmm. God, that feels like it was not long ago, but it was actually back in March. April, March, somewhere around there. Anyway, they are not going to kill off the character in the game or remove the character from the game. They are keeping him in there. Apparently, the story calls for that. Mm-hmm. And they were replacing his voice actor with Keith David, which is a fantastic selection on that. Keith has worked with Bungie in the past on Halo, and now he'll be the voice of Commander Zavala in Destiny 2. Those are two very iconic voices for that game, and yeah, I think those shoes are going to be filled quite nicely.
Yeah. And it was in March that he passed away.
Yeah. So, yeah. That's pretty much it on what we were going to jump into. There were some games you need to play during the latest Steam Visual Novel Fest. I'll see what we have here. It says 7 games you need to play. What do we have? Start the slideshow here. Missed Messages. A playthrough should only take you about 30 minutes, but the game has 4 possible endings and a lot of dialogue about love, family, and depression. It's sweet and a little scary, so give it a shot if you would like to. What else do we have? Misery Cord is the first installment of a planned visual novel mystery about a 15th century covenant, which is to say, its dialogue is deeply moody with fantastic art that seems like it might have once been buried under coal. You arrive in the story after a murder. Lilith. This is a brief and funny game. It's about under 30 minutes. You get asked 20 banal personality questions to evaluate the price of your soul, which you then choose to sell. Either way, you should seriously consider the deal. The job market is kind of... Yeah. Let's see, what else do we have? Death and Taxes. You play an office worker, Grim Reaper, deciding whether or not to kill someone after evaluating their paperwork. It has a free demo, so you can download it there if you'd like to. The full game is also 70% off. So, yeah, just under $4 if you're interested in it. Flowers. It's the first in a series of games. It's a very sappy, pretty game about high school girls who look identical. That doesn't seem fun at all. One Night... What is this? One Night Hot Springs? It's a beautiful, simple meditation. Huh. Goodbye, Volcano High. We've talked about that. It is a dinosaur game musical type thing. It's very interesting. I haven't played it or anything, but those are the 7 games you should try out during the Visual Novel Fest going on Steam right now. And then there was something about the Ninja Turtle costumes for Street Fighter 6 are apparently very expensive.
Yeah.
And so people are just designing it in the character creator.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Each outfit costs $15?
Yeah, the sticker shock has got people...
I thought it was really... $15. You get all 4.
No.
Each one is $15?
Mm-hmm.
That is ridiculous. Oh, man.
And the community agrees with you.
Wow. Wait for a sale on that one. All right, folks, that is going to do it for us. We are out of here. And thank God the hum is gone. Thanks to everybody who joined us in the chat room. I'll do a quick rundown. I've got some time here. Let me go over this list. Z-Key, Steven Van Damme, Steven 24 Nowell, Sipofo, Lethal Migraine, Kata Evans, Drunk Degenerate, Drapsnat, Deathful, Commander Root, Bama Brian, another TV viewer, Alistraya 8, Hides, I think, 7, Bevillet, 01, Ella, AC Wraith, and RJ in there as well. So thank you guys for showing up and joining in the chat room here on Twitch. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Join us on Discord. Join us on Twitch. Join us on YouTube and all those other channels you subscribe to. We really appreciate everybody who listens each and every week. Have a fantastic week, speaking of. And we'll see you next Saturday. Music here from House in Fata Morgana. Fugitive Dust is the name of this track. See you next Saturday.